Well, it's a wonderful night. God is mighty great and mighty thing God want to say to us. And we want to hear it, right?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. May your ears be open. May your eyes be open. May your understanding be open. May the Holy Spirit help us tonight, not only here in Darrow, but around the world. Thank you for the subject. Thank you for the text. And I'll yield to you as you teach us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now you might want to underline brethren. You might want to underline boldness. And you might want to underline blood. All three of those hold a great place in what will be taught tonight. You have to know you're a brethren. You have to know that you're not a regular person, that you're a child of God. And that's where the word brethren come from. You're in the family. And knowing that, it should produce a certain boldness in your life. And then you always can rely on the blood. All right. And having a high priest over the household of God, over the house of God. Now, verse 22, I was praying about when we should come back together as a congregation. And I prayed from Hebrews 10, 25. I was walking to church, walking here. Sometime I come here and do some praying. And I was praying that 25th verse where he said, not forsaking the assembly ourselves together as the manner some is. And then God gave me this whole text. Here in verse 22 now is our major scripture. Verse 22 is the major scripture we're going to teach on tonight. And let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now I want you to underline that in full, didn't say full of faith, full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now when he say our body washed with pure water, we're not talking about taking a bath. Here that's in the Old Testament, they had ways of doing things, but now we're in the New Testament. So he's talking about a spiritual transaction. Spiritual transaction. I just want you to know that. All right. And then he says, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And then it gives us a great dynamic, for he is faithful that promise. I was walking and praying, and he told me to teach this, how to live in full assurance of faith. How to live in full assurance of faith. Now, I got busy because I knew what the word assurance means to some mean, but I have six or seven things I'm going to say about assurance before I even start. To carry out fully in evidence. To carry out fully in evidence. You have enough evidence to be assured that what you're carrying out can't be stopped. He's our high priest. He died on the cross. He paid for everything. So when you understand that, you're being full confidence and have operating in evidence that already manifested. It also means completely assured, fully known, fully know, fully persuaded. We're talking about how to live in the full assurance of faith. It also says, I looked up both Hebrews and the dictionary. A personal promise that something is in reality as it is represented. I like that one. You see what it says? It says a personal promise that something is in reality as it is represented. Powerful. Also means security. It also is assurance, but it also means insurance. A state of mind in which one is free from doubt. A state of mind which one is free from doubt. Certainty, certitude, confidence, conviction, sureness, boldness, all of that in that word that we find in our text in full assurance of faith. And then I'll give you the last one here, a statement whose weight or worth depend on the truthfulness or authority of its maker. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. The blood is a guarantee. Now, how many believe the blood is a guarantee? The cross is a guarantee, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah, it's a guarantee. Now, theological concepts are going to have to be dealt with tonight. Over the years, I've watched it. And in the early part of my ministry, there's some things I didn't know, but you got to grow. And there's a whole lot of things I don't know now, still growing you, because you cannot become fully grown in God, because he's infinitum. He'll come out again. You see him in another aspect. There's some basis guideline. But here, when I was meditating how to live in the full assurance of faith, listen very closely. You have to know that your spirit is perfect. Right here, right now. My spirit is perfect. When you understand that, certain things in the Bible you understand better, because you're not trying to correct your spirit. You're not trying to get your spirit to do anything. Matter of fact, your spirit is perfect. Your soul is progressive. And your body is programmed. Now, you got to know about all three of these now, because if you're going to operate in full assurance of faith, you're going to have all three of these aspects organized. So you understand that your spirit is perfect, but your soul is progressive. And your body is programmed. Now, your body will take programming from the devil or from anything. Your body. I mean, your body is just going to take a program. That's why it's so important that you understand about your soul. Now, three other words I want you to get. Cleansing. You have to know you're clean, and that you know that by your spirit. But then you have to deal with your soul consciousness. And then the last C is conduct. What you're going to do in your body. You're going to do it. You're going to conduct yourself according to what your soul is able to receive. You still here?
Yes, sir.
So when we see how to live in the full assurance of faith, my brothers and sisters, there's a marvelous revelation that had been left out for operating in faith. People think you just can operate in faith by their spirit, but your soul got to be in place. I always like Romans 9:1. See, I tell the truth, I lie not. My soul, my conscience bear witness with the Holy Ghost. So the only thing can get out of the place in you is your soul and your body. And your body is somewhat neutral. Now, that sounds crazy. Your body is somewhat neutral because your body is being programmed either by the Spirit of God or satanic spirit or the system or whatever, you see. So when we read this text, let us draw near with a true heart. All right, now the word heart there, that word heart, you look it up in the Hebrew or the Greek, it means soul. See, now, if you don't see that, if you don't know that, let us draw near with a true soul, a true inner man. If you don't know that, you're not going to be able to operate in the full assurance of faith. See, yes, your spirit perfect, but your inner man not perfect, and your soul not perfect. So he said, let us draw near. Watch, he's going to say it again. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You see that? All right. So the heart has something to do with it. And the heart is not talking about your spirit. Now, here's a trick. The enemy wants you to think he's talking about your spirit, because he know he can't stand up to you in your spirit. So he don't want you to train your soul that the manifestation of the power of your spirit can go through your soul down to your body to the affairs of your life. So he wants you to concentrate on making your spirit strong. Your spirit already strong. All right, watch this. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. You will not get to the full assurance of faith if you don't have spirit, soul, and body sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Hebrews 4:12, Romans 12:1-3. They're all there. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. All right, in full assurance of faith. Now look, here we go again now. Having our hearts sprinkled. Having our souls sprinkled. Having our inner man sprinkled. Why I know that? From an evil conscience? Where is my conscience? From an evil conscience? Evil conscience in your soul? Huh? And our body washed with pure water. So the cleansing and the consciousness produces the conduct. And so I think about, then I start giving some point. I think about, and I thought about this afternoon in meditating. We would wonder why so many people die early. Praying, praising, singing, they're not eating right. That's why they die early. You can't pray your way out of ignorance. And so it's the same here why people don't have a full assurance of faith, because they're looking only to their spirit and their soul out there drifting. So it's the same thing. See, it's not God's fault. It's that we have to be taught properly to handle things properly. So no matter how much you pray or what you say, if you keep this not cooperating with the system God have given you, he's going to let you die ahead of time. I mean, it's all to it. I mean, people can get mad if they want. They can get mad if they want. You're just going to die because you're just eating like a fool, and your body is made for certain things. I didn't know it for many years. I thank God. God spared me and let me stay here with all the things I did. But I'm saying that there's a parallel here. People trying to operate in the full assurance of faith, and they're not bringing a total man into it. And that's what Hebrews 4:12 about. And he says, Hebrews 4:12, talking about separating them. Okay. So this, Jesus, our high priest, the veil is torn in two. We're supposed to be ruling and reigning down here, but you can't reign or rule unless you know the whole picture. Same way with the good people dying. I used to go and a good person died, and I said, well, what's going on here? You know, and the Lord was solemn. I go over here, somebody else died, the Lord was solemn. I said, what is this? But then after the Lord teaching me some things about health and about how we should take care of ourselves, I understand now. See. I'm going to tell you one more thing. See, soul food is leftover food that the slave master give us. Guts, they would need that, so they give it to us. So we got to stop eating the guts. Not go on some other thing, but I got to go on my lesson. Point number one under this, how to live in the full assurance of faith. Now, you got the three, right? Spirit, soul, and body, right? And you got the two hearts. You got the conscience, and you got the heart twice in my text. In Hebrews 10:22, is that right? Yes. True heart, you got the heart sprinkled, and it got your conscience. And when I say our body washed with pure water, that don't mean water within itself. That means a spiritual cleansing. All right? Now, always remember that you are in a beloved position and that your faith is portion of the God. In our text, he talked about a high priest, but he talks about in the 19th verse, having therefore brethren. Always remember that you are in a beloved position and that your faith is portion of the God. When things go wrong, turn to Jude, right before Revelation. Look at the 20th verse. And make sure you have in your note, brethren, boldness, and blood. Those three. Then Jude 20, in the midst of, we've been had a pandemic, you know, we've been had a pandemic going on long time, sin. It's worse than COVID-19. And so Jude was telling us about it, but he tell us how to have foolish, but you beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Then he said, keeping yourself in love, even though all that's going on around you, you're going to be okay. Already remember that you are in a beloved position. What I say? And that your faith is personal to God. That's powerful. See, you got to have that to be in full assurance of faith. You have to know that you're beloved. You're a brother. You're a brother to Jesus Christ. You got the same daddy. See, and then because you're not going to be able to operate in this kind of faith, not understanding. Then verse 19, having therefore, who are you talking to? Look at it. Having therefore what? Who are you talking to? Having therefore what? Who are you talking to? Somebody answer me on television. They can't answer me yet. Having therefore what? Having therefore what? We need to feed on the scripture up in here now. Having therefore what? Having therefore what? Having therefore what? Having therefore what? Brethren. Brethren. Look at it. Having therefore brethren. It's talking to the brethren. So your faith must know you have blessed rights. Hebrews 10, 19. Your faith must know, or you must know, that you have blessed right because you're the beloved. Then, once you understand the beloved aspect of it, a brotherly aspect of it, it creates a boldness. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16. That we can find grace and mercy to help in time of need. And then now you know your faith can enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. The veil can't stop you no more. You go right into God's presence as you understand this. Hallelujah. Turn to Ephesians 3. Let me show you this. Because we're talking about assurance of faith, full of assurance and full of faith together. Ephesians 3. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, got to pay attention to it. Ephesians 3. This is a marvelous revelation. Apostle Paul talking about the mysteries and talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ, the manifold wisdom of God. And then he get down. This type of faith unfolds a threefold revelation. This type of faith, this faith we're talking about, unfolds this full assurance of faith. There's a threefold revelation that we got. We know that the spirit, soul, and body got to be involved. We know that. But here's a threefold revelation. We got to know that I'm a son. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I have a divine right to operate in the supernatural. I have a divine right to have miracles, signs, and wonders. You have to know that. You have to have full assurance of faith. That's your right at all times. No matter what nobody else say, the blood already paid for it. Jesus is my high priest, and I'm in the family of God. Now here, in this threefold revelation, that this full assurance of faith produced, I was reading behind the Apostle Paul, and look at the 12th verse in the third chapter of Ephesians. 12th verse. In whom we have boldness. Now you got to know that your faith, you got a divine right to be there. All right? Then, not only boldness, what else? Access. Access. That's a powerful word there. Access. When you have full assurance of faith, you know you have access. Look how. With confidence by the faith of him. In other words, the self-same faith that Jesus functioned in belonged to me. That means I can get the same result Jesus received when he was here on earth. But I have to understand, I have to have the full assurance of faith to do that. But there's those three things now. Boldness, access, and confidence. That type of assurance, this full assurance of faith operating all three of those. Boldness, access, and confidence. See, now, I'll show you by the grace of the Holy Ghost, turn to Romans chapter 5. I'll show you why many cannot operate in this kind of faith because they don't understand the difference between their soul and spirit. And I don't hear a whole lot of teaching about this and it's holy ground because it made me bold. When I found out what? I got bold because I took control of my soul. See what I'm saying? Because if you don't take control of your soul, Satan's going to take control of it. And then when he got control of your soul, what else he got control of? Your body. The next. See? What you think, what you do, he got you, you see? Look in Romans chapter 5 now. My text said in the top of this Romans 5, it says, justified by the blood of Christ. The text saying the same thing in Hebrew. And your faith got to know that. I'm made righteous by the blood of Christ. I'm justified by the, I got rights that can't be stopped by the blood of Christ. Then it says here now, we're talking about access. You remember we're talking about access, them three things? Notice verse 1. Therefore, being justified by what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 2 now, because that word is very, by whom also we have access, how? By faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, look at verse 5, and you'll never be able to claim the text I'm reading in Hebrew. And hope making not ashamed. You see it? Because what? It shed abroad where?
In our hearts, in our inner man,
in our soul, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's why God, Jesus said when he's teaching the greatest commandment, he says, love the Lord thy God with all your soul. He didn't say your spirit. Because if God is a spirit and God is love and I'm partaking of his divine nature, I'm a spirit and I'm love. So where my contrariness coming from?
Yes, sir.
It's not coming out of my spirit because it can't come out of God's nature.
That's right.
So where failure coming from? Where it come from? I'm using my faith and nothing happening. It's not out of my spirit. So let it be an eye opener tonight that you must work on your soul. Don't work on the situation. Don't work on your body. Don't work on the sin. Work on your soul. Then you stop it. You take control. Look at that fifth verse. Hope making our shame because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. You see that? Now, turn to Ephesians 3. Before I go any further, turn to Ephesians 3 again. Turn back to Ephesians. Let's look at this. So the whole thing is not that you don't have faith, but your faith does not have full assurance because your soul, your heart, your inner man, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What? He ain't talking about no man thinking, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, whatever in your heart will come out in your body, will come out in your life. Out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the soul, that's what he's talking about, the mouth speaking. See? You see, there's two aspects. Apostle Paul says, study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then he said in Hebrews 12, the word of God is quick and powerful. See, you got to rightly divide the word so the word can rightly divide you.
Yes, sir.
That's 1 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, your life has to be rightly divided to operate in full assurance of faith. Well, I told you, entire confidence, got evident, completely assured. Well, where did doubt come from at? Doubt can't come to your spirit. Doubt don't come through your body. Doubt come through your soul. And let's see Paul. Paul gonna clear this up for us tonight. And anybody want to argue, I want you to go ahead on and look in the strong concordance. And every time you see heart, every time you see inner man, watch what they tell you. That's what they tell you. Ephesians chapter 3. It clear up a whole lot of things, how good people are having shipwreck in their faith, and how people praying all night for stuff and don't get it. People fasting 30 days. And baby, your fasting is not for God. God ain't hot of you. Your fasting is trying to get the stupidity out of you, or out of me. Anybody, God, I fast sometimes, but it ain't fasting that move God. Fasting, get your tail straight so you can do right. Yeah, fasting, God. My goodness. All right, notice this now. Notice this. This is the one I want to look at. Let's see. This is the one. Ephesians 3:15, of whom the whole family of heaven does in name, he'd say, bottom of my knees. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit, where?
Amen.
In the inner man, right? Well, who is the inner man?
The soul.
Soul, all right. Who, what else is it called?
The heart.
All right. Now, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now, we have never... I never heard in the word of faith that they equated that your soul has something to do with your faith. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. This is going on national TV. Your soul has something to do with your faith. See, if that's not true, listen to me. Take a little side journey. Go to Psalm 143. If that's not true, when a man said he persecuted my soul, then the man said, my spirit is overwhelmed.
Yeah.
How your spirit overwhelmed? My spirit failed. Because my soul is not a receptacle to carry out the orders.
Yeah.
What Romans 12:2? Talk about renewing your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable. See, that's that soul. We don't have a spirit problem. Sin come out of the soul.
Yeah.
Sin come out of the soul and placed in the body and placed in your steps. To have full assurance of faith, you're going to have to take authority over your soul.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to take the love of God to do that. So that's what Paul's saying here. Listen, I got to hurry because I got... he said... Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all sense what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Turn to James chapter 1. I wrote this. I know you're going to love it. You will never waver in your faith again. If you listen to me, you will never waver in your faith again. Once you put your faith out, you know it got to come through. Because you're no longer under soul, Satan, and the system control. You will never waver in your faith again. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you do not want to waver in your faith? Huh? Well, make some noise then.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
But ask him in faith. James 1:6. But ask him in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and torn. But you will never waver in your faith again. No matter, that's talking about a faith fight right here. Count it all joy when you fall in various trials and temptation. But you'll never waver in your faith. The wavering in your faith is coming from the flaws in your soul. Now, if Satan got me looking in my spirit, he got me right where you want me. See, because he don't want me to know, behold, God will give me power to trade. I'm going to serve his covenant power over all the power of the enemy. He want me to think, kind of be double-minded about this. But the Lord is teaching us how to live in the full assurance of faith. You're going to have to, it just can't be one avenue. You got to travel all these avenues that I'm talking about. Look at 1 John 3:21. 1 John 3:21. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:21. I was sitting down Sunday before they knew it. 1 John 3:21 said, see, he gone? Yeah, I'm gone. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart, if our soul, if our inner man condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Woo! Who's it?
Yes.
See. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, if our soul condemn us not, because our spirit is not going to condemn us.
That's right.
Remember what I started off with? I said, your spirit is perfect. Your soul is what?
Progressive.
Your soul is progressing. And what I say about your body is programmed. Now, know this, if you're going to operate in the full assurance of faith, that your body can be programmed by you or the devil. Your responsibility for your soul is to stay in charge of your body. I bring my body into subjection. I present my body as a living sacrifice. See, I is the spirit, the real me. But when I told you to turn to Psalm 143, I want you to read that because I haven't forgotten, because that's where that soul is out of order and it's stopping the spirit from flowing. I mean, you see it over and over again, that text. When I saw that, man, I said, wow. Hebrews 9:14. That heart, you got to get that heart. If you're going to operate in that kind of faith, you can't be in doubt. You can't be wavering. You just got to believe God. Stand in the word. Stand on the word. Stand on the word. Renew your mind. Many wouldn't be in fear if they've heard this. They wonder what's happened to them. Why God not answering my prayer? God always answers prayer. But if your enemy got your soul messed up, you're not going to be in full faith. Hebrews 9:4, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offer himself without spot to God, put, oh, here we go, yeah, purge your conscience. Conscience, say conscience.
Conscience.
Yeah, from dead work to to serve the living God. So when he said, purge my conscience from dead work, what are you talking about? Purge your soul from dead work. Purge your heart from dead work. Purge your inner man. See, if you get the two mixed up, you're going to be shucking and jiving. You're going to be quoting scriptures and don't know that you have a responsibility if you're going to walk in this thing, in this divine substance God wants you to walk in. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
If you keep your soul clean, you will keep your body clean. 2 Corinthians 7:1. A lot of scripture. See. And body clean, we're not talking about no Dove soap. We're talking about clean living. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I know they won't emphasize on grace and displace sanctification. They won't emphasize on grace. That's not what grace for. Grace for to sanctify you. They won't emphasize grace, but they don't want to talk about holiness. They just want to give a whole lot of excuses for everybody doing everything. No, that ain't going to happen. This book, that's why I like this book. This book disagree with it.
That's right.
I agree with this book. I don't care if 995,000 going the other way. I agree with this book.
Yes, sir.
You still with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, here in 7:1 now. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. No, let God cleanse us.
No.
Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, my spirit already clean. Because I'm born again. Go to another version to help us. Oh, yeah. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's in our text, that is passed into the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Go to the next verse. Go to 15 and 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Go to verse 16 now. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Look at Hebrews 11:11. You're going to operate in the full assurance of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now you can't get that done if you're gonna let your soul run you. You see, living in the full assurance of faith is personal. Write that down. Living in the full assurance of faith is personal. Notice, let me draw near, let me hold fast. Let me consider. All that's in the text we're reading. How many seeing this? See. Go back to the text in Hebrews. Go back to that 19 verse. 10:19. Christ is the perfect sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they had to do it every year. Christ did it once for all. And here it says in the 19th verse, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now that's all the time. You can go in there all the time. Go in there all the time. You got access to it all the time. Brethren, boldness, and blood. Those three. The blood produced the brethren, and the blood produced the boldness. Operating in the full assurance of faith. The 20th verse tells us, by new and living way. You see that?
Yes, sir.
I wrote, operating in a new and living way, consecrated faith. By a new and living way, what he have consecrated for us, see, consecrated faith, new and living way, consecrated. Through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Now he's talking about the cross. Now he's talking about what he did. He paid the price for us to live beyond the world system, beyond Satan, beyond sin, beyond practicing sin, beyond letting the enemy use us. We are more powerful than the enemy. Yes, then I not only operating a new living way, consecrated faith. You heard that? Yes. And then I wrote in verse 21, there's a high priest over my faith. There's a high priest over my faith. Jesus is the high priest over my faith. He's such a high priest over my faith, he turned me into a priest. Royal priesthood, Peter talks about. So a true heart, there in our text, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You see it in verse 22. A true heart, a true soul, a true inner man, a sprinkled heart, a clear conscience, a body under control. A true heart, a sprinkled heart, a clear conscience, a body under control. Hallelujah. Let me read the text again. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I say to you again, he's not talking about your physical body being washed with pure water. He's talking about conduct. Yeah, he's talking about conduct. He's talking about holding your body in place for the glory of God. You can do it. You can do it. With all my shortcomings, over 40-something years, you know, I have not practiced sin. Nobody can pull nothing out on me. You know, I don't have to shut up because I call you a flat-footed liar. Yes, because God and his word have kept me all these years. I ain't run around. I ain't did none of that. Yes, but it's not by my strength, but it's by me obeying him. Are you following me? I'm not going to do it. Yes, rather die first. Y'all got quiet. Yeah, absolutely. I don't disgrace God. No. I know too much. You know too much. You've been in this ministry 2 or 3 years. You know too much to be a fool. There's a high priest over my faith. Say it.
There's a high priest over my faith.
So I wrote these two lines. Leroy, better been making your way up here. Hold fast to your faith at all time, for he is faithful that promise. See that next text? I like that. See, not just my faith. Look at the 23rd verse. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And he is. I say, and he is.
Yes, he is.
For he is faithful that promised. Operating in provoked love and good work, exalting one another. Verse 24 and 25. Now, let me wrap up in showing you clearly in the Bible a man who went through this and how powerful it is. I'm just going to read. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But it was grace. It was promised. It was called that which was spoken. He was not weak in faith, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Romans chapter 4, that was Abraham. And then I just want to read the text in close about operating in full assurance of faith. Go over those things. The Holy Spirit had to tell you more about them. But I'm going to do some more teaching on the soul that I can get a lot of people out of jams they're in where Satan have robbed them in their inner man, their soul. They're praying and praying and trying to get out. And they're just going to have to flush their soul. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you flush your soul and you can get out of that mess. But here in Romans 4, verse 20. Well, let's look at verse 19 to help us. And being not weak in faith, talking about Abraham, or Abram, told him and said, we're going to have a baby. I don't know how many years they had to wait. He considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You see that?
Yeah.
But was what? Strong in faith, doing what? Giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. I stand here tonight to tell you right now that same revelation belongs to you and I.
Yes, sir.
You still can be fully persuaded what God. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Ego, reasoning, and facts. Intellect. Why people keep babbling in elementary doctrine? Mm-hmm. Hebrews 6 talked about it. They're still talking about baptism. And why they're still there? Because in the latter part of Hebrews 5, they have not exercised their senses to be able to discern right from wrong. In other words, your spirit, your soul, and your senses must become one. In other words, see, because when you're born again, man or woman, your spirit is in place. Your soul, you can renew it. Once that happens, your body, your senses gonna fall in line with what the head man say.
Yes, sir.
The head man is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, my born again spirit, my soul, my senses. See, because in the church, they almost tell you, you don't have to have no sense. Stupid. You got to have some sense. If the Spirit of God leading you, and if you got your mind renewed, your soul renewed, you're going to have sense. You're just going to see clean through something when it come at you.
Yep.
Your sense is going to say, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
See. Paul said they're still running around because they haven't exercised their senses. Let's read that. Because somebody's going to accuse me. Let's read this thing. I want you to see this. This is so powerful. And why your life is so elementary in the spirit. You would listen when somebody teaching you something. Stop trying to teach the teacher. You might can learn something. And just say the same thing about the Holy Ghost in the 16th chapter of John. Look at the 11th verse of the 5th chapter of Hebrew. Say the same thing about the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost said, prior to the Holy Ghost coming, he said, there's many things I want to say to you, but it's hard. You can't handle it now. This may be one of those things, but you're going to hear it tonight. Hebrews 5:11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Look what it said now. For the time you ought to be teachers, you're still in line for somebody to lay a hand on you. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Watch this. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Now watch this, verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, that means immature, in even those who by reason of use of their senses exercise to discern both good and evil.
Yeah.
The senses.
Yeah.
He said the senses. Then you go in the sixth chapter of Hebrew, and they're going over and over the same stuff, over and over the same stuff. No, there's no man ever born on the face of the earth know everything about God. And what we got locked in certain generation. We've made certain men general, certain women general. And then here come a man with a revelation about money, and you play stupid because the other man didn't say it. So he said, he broke. He broke because he got a mind stroke. Why? I'm trying to close, man. Why I teach about money so much? That's my assignment. My assignment to teach people prosperity, wealth, increase. That's my assignment. I can't get out of this land. If I get out of this land, I'll be out of order. So you see me on YouTube and I'm teaching all kind of teaching about money because God told me money coming. He told me, go to the body of Christ. Then he had a man prophesy over me before he was given to me and told me it was coming. He didn't know what it was. His wife didn't know what it was. She spoke in tongues. He interpreted that I'd go all over the world. Why the other fellow don't teach about money? He don't know nothing about no money. He ain't got none. Then, you know, you teach about prosperity because it's in the Bible, but do you really have prosperity? Evidence. See? It's just like this message. Don't let this message go. How to live in the full assurance of faith. Make sure you have your spirit, your soul, and your body in alignment.